Welcome to Around Montgomery County. I'm your host, Sean Belent, and thanks for joining us today. Our guest is Dr. Kate Endicott with HSHS Medical Care in Hillsborough. I spoke to her early in the week, and the subject matter was already valuable, talking about remote learning and how to get through the stress and strain of the process. Well, it's taken on added importance since a number of students had to go into quarantine in the Hillsborough School District in particular. Now, Dr. Kate Endicott joins us on this edition of Around Montgomery County. Once again, we are with you here on WSMI, Sean Belent, and I'm talking to Dr. Kate Endicott, who is at HSHS Medical Group, and we're going to talk about something that you may not think of as a health issue at first glance, but trust me, folks, when you think about it at the end of the day, it truly is, and that's virtual schooling. Dr. Endicott, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Okay, let's talk about virtual schooling and some of the downsides and some of the struggles associated with it. Just what do you see when you look at the challenges that virtual learning, virtual schooling brings to the table for student and parent alike?
Sure. So where to begin? There are lots of challenges on both parts of this process that we're seeing. We're asking kids to do something that they are really not used to, which is learning an environment where they are separated not only from their teacher, but their peers. And we're also asking parents to do something most of them did not sign up to do, which is help educate your kids from home. So to say that we are in strange times, unprecedented territory is an understatement. So one of the things I just want people to realize is just acknowledge that, acknowledge how strange a thing this is, and try to remember that we're all in this together. You know, it's not really happening to any one singular individual. It's happening to communities and families. So it is a tough time for everybody.
One of the things I'd like to talk about off air in particular, when I talk about people's struggles, I think one of the problems is there's so much pressure to always appear happy and in control. And I'd have to think that comes into play. Coming up to that moment where you realize I'm in over my head a little bit and I might need some help, and not being afraid to tell someone or ask someone for help.
I've been telling people that this is an example of it takes a village more than anything else we've experienced, that along with us all being in this together, acknowledging that maybe we don't have it all figured out or know exactly what we're all doing all of the time is a good starting point. And that does take some of the pressure off, that we're not necessarily aiming for perfection right now. We're kind of just trying to get through this the best that we can. Certainly the teacher is a good place to start with reaching out for help, talking to the teacher about what they're seeing from their end, what they think could be improved, and getting a good idea of what exactly your expectations are as a home educator. Again, something most of us didn't sign up to do.
Kate Endicott with the HSHS Medical Group in Hillsborough joining us. And we talk about how long is too long as far as online learning. It gets confusing. You're watching their kid and like, are they on social media? Are they playing a game? Are they doing online learning? It's, I guess, an counter-espionage thing where the kids have had a little bit of an advantage, and I think parents have caught up a little bit, but it's kind of tricky. You're trying to budget screen time, and then all of a sudden screen time's learning time. How much time your child should spend each day learning online, that has got to be a real difficult job to handle.
Yep. So again, it's not ideal. This isn't probably the preferred method, but it's what we're doing for now. Outside of educational learning, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that for kids between the ages of 2 and 12, they should be having less than 1 hour of non-educational screen time per day. Kids younger than 2, we don't want really having any screen time. Again, that is non-educational time. There aren't any guidelines right now with what we're shooting for while we're mid-crisis.
Well, Doctor, I know one of the big challenges with life in late 2020 is finding a routine for a lot of folks. And, you know, structured routine, school provides it. Be in this classroom at this time, be at practice at this time. All of a sudden, that's out the window. And I guess that's a big part of it all is bringing routine back to the table.
Absolutely. Routine's important for kids and adults alike. It might not be the same routine that you are used to, but I would still encourage families to find a new routine that fits for them. That means trying to keep more or less the same routine most days of the week. And your schedule should even include, just like a kid's school day would, your break times, your recess times, your meal times. Making time for those breaks is an important way to keep the day going. And so kids do need to have some scheduled time to get away from the screen, get away from the learning, go play. The part where this gets tricky is figuring out how do parents incorporate this into their own schedules, because a lot of parents are going to need to work around. If they're working from home, they need to set it up so that they can find time to help their child when they've got downtime as well. So it may involve some ingenuity and getting creative, but trying to make a new normal schedule will help your kid through the school year.
Yeah, it seems like structure and routine, some of the trappings of this era, some of the technology would seem to be a real threat to that for adults in particular. Being someone who grew up in the three-channel, three-network era, boy, well, the news is at 5:30. Well, that VCR thing came along. I guess we can tape it, but I still don't know how to use it. I never did figure out how to use a VCR, but it used to be that the world was kind of set up and you just took what the world set up for you. Now, when you can binge watch and do anything you want to do, when you want to do it. You know what? I don't feel like cooking. Everybody's doing takeout and delivery and everything else. It's real easy to get away from routine, and some adults could use this as an opportunity to find their way, because getting away from routine, I'm living proof, it can be bad stuff.
Absolutely. What you were talking about there, I talked over you. I would call it a Pandora's box of convenience. And when it comes to electronics, global pandemic aside, my advice to people is turn it off as much as you can. Get your daily dose of news in the morning. Better yet, get your news from a print or a radio source, maybe not a TV source, maybe not a Facebook source, but then turn the screens off. Part of this also goes back to modeling by behavior. So we all want our kids to grow up well-adjusted, empathetic individuals who have a decently healthy attention span, but there's a lot of adults who aren't necessarily modeling that behavior, and I'm guilty of it as well. So my best advice is just turn the screens off, get outside, do something else.
All right, you try to set up a school environment. I realize, I remember what a home office used to look like. I love that, that one little animated feature that shows the way the home office has changed. There was the giant clock. It's gone. All of these components are gone and everything's on your computer. And it seems like maybe that's beneficial, because you try to recreate the school environment. You're bringing electronics. It sounds complicated, but it's really easier to set up that virtual school environment. And that seems to be crucial, is to try to recreate those spaces and that mindset.
Yeah, I think that as humans, we are very much impacted by the spaces around us. I talk to a lot of patients. I'll use insomnia as the example. We talk about sleep a lot. And we talk about their sleep environment. Your brain needs similar environments to tell your brain what the activity at order is. So if you've got a kiddo who is doing their schoolwork on their laptop, but they're at all these different places around the house and they don't have a dedicated space, you might notice some difficulty getting them to pay attention and really be able to buckle down. But if they've got a dedicated work area, when they sit down to do the schoolwork, their brain is already thinking, ah, yes, I know where I am. I know what we're going to do. And it's ready to get down to business. Another part of the creating the school space is just trying to make this fun for kids. Let them be involved in decorating their space and figuring out what they want their environment to look like day to day. Good advice would be to try to put it in a place of the house that is free from distractions, far away from the TV, far away from toys or something else that might be calling out to them, and let them get involved in figuring out what that space looks like.
All right. A homework calendar. One of the points you bring up. I know my time management at times, it's like, oh, geez, I didn't get this done or that done. I guess having a game plan, a clear game plan, is always an important thing.
Yeah, so this is just reiterating the importance of communication amongst everybody who's on your team. You know, you, the child, and the teacher. Make sure that you are on track of what is supposed to be happening. And again, this helps kids get involved and feel like a real part of taking charge of their education. So if they know they need to keep the homework calendar up to date and that you're going to be checking it, that's just more help that helps the teacher back at their physical hard school grounds.
Lunch and recess. You don't necessarily have to be in a building to pull that off. And I have to think taking a break. It's one thing to be in a classroom where there's downtime, you're around people, but just sitting bolted down to that computer mentally, I'm sure can be a little much.
For sure. And even in regular, you know, school environments where we are doing in-person learning, we know that kids do better when they have opportunities for physical and creative outlets. So these aren't just necessarily frilly things and we say go burn off energy or go paint a picture. These are things that actually help with brain development in kids. So it's important to incorporate them into your home school day, just like you would an in-person school day.
All right. You say hand out gold stars, offer that feedback and praise. And in school, it's not hard to get feedback, good, bad, and indifferent. Feedback's important. You feel that kind of disconnect without it.
Sure. And I think there's a lot of feedback going around. You know, feedback goes both ways. Feedback tells us whether something's going well and if something's going not well. And I think plenty of people have got opinions about homeschooling. So lots of feedback that most people are generally not loving this as their preferred method of learning. But if we try to focus on the stuff that is going well and provide positive reinforcement and just thank our kids for being so flexible in such a weird time, it really does go a long way. And, you know, I think kids are, they're more tuned in than we give them credit. So when you do validate, hey, this is not easy, this is not normal, but we can do hard things together, you can see extraordinary things with kids.
I can imagine communication and is key, and you have a lot to say in that regard.
Absolutely. So check back with your kid, find out what is going right for them, find out what could be better. As adults, we often think that we have all the answers and we know it all, but when we ask and we're willing to hear the answers, kids often have a lot of profound things to say. So if you're having struggles, come back to your kid, find out what the trouble seems to be.
And finally, I know that this whole process, it's brought guilt. It's brought some difficult feelings for people, and I've got to do everything the right, most disciplined way. But you say don't be afraid to bring some fun into the mix.
Don't be afraid to bring some fun into the mix, and also don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Like I said, we are in unprecedented times. Even taking my own daughter to her physician, another physician, and talking about what we're dealing with, I had to chuckle when we were talking about what a family is doing for them is what is working for them. So there's lots of opportunities to compare what you're doing to other families. But I would just encourage you to remember that we can do hard things. This is hopefully temporary measures that we are taking. And to just keep taking it one day at a time.
Well, Dr. Kate Endicott with HSHS Medical Group in Hillsboro. Anything else we need to know or any suggestions for people who feel like they just need some help getting adjusted to this, incredible endeavor, incredible responsibility?
One of my biggest pieces of advice that I give people that you can apply this to all aspects of life is the power of presence, of trying to stay in the moment. There are some more sophisticated ways you can do that with deep breathing techniques if you're really interested in learning about it. But the idea is trying to not get too much ahead of yourself with what's going to happen or what has happened. Just taking deep breaths and taking 1 minute at a time.
Well, Doctor, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you joining us and helping people through the struggle that is the ongoing school year.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you in 2 weeks for another edition of Around Montgomery County.